thoughts are troubled, and you're going through anguish and agony, and it seems desperate, and it's dark, and you're all on your own. Well, you're not.
Amen.
God is still awake. Even when His Son was in the tomb, God was awake.
Yeah.
God knows what it is to be awake when you should be asleep. It's Him that watches. It's Him that cares for you. The Bible tells us to cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. And as we do that, we will begin to realize more and more that He's in control of everything that is going on.
Amen.
And so when Sunday comes, as the morning begins to break, the earth began to shake. Because God called out His Son on the third day and called Him from the pit of hell and called His name, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And He called His name and He rose from the dead. And the tomb was opened. The stone rolled away. I guess when that began to shake and they saw that stone beginning to roll back on its own accord, I don't know what you would have done, but in the twilight of the morning, these soldiers, I guess they just took off running. Who's coming out? What's going to happen? And then in the early hours, as the morning had broken, the women come to do a proper burial. Makes you think, haven't you been listening, girls? Haven't you guys been listening to what Jesus said to you? Did you not hear He said that on the third day He would rise again?
Amen.
They didn't believe Him. They'd been with Him for some 3.5 years nearly. And they'd seen that every time He said something, it was true. Every time He said He was going to do something, He did it,
yeah.
And it happened.
Yeah.
When He turned the water into wine, when He opened the eyes of the blind, when He said to the disciples, He said, "You feed the 5,000. I said, "What with?" And Andrew found a boy with 5 loaves and 2 little fish. And said, "Well, we've got this, but what is this?" And what you and I need to remember is that when we come to God, and we might come with our small gift, our 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and say, "What is it?" All God wants you to do is say, "Whatever it is, I give it unto you."
Amen.
And let God bless it. Let God take hold of it. And let God's Spirit begin to move over it. And as God's Spirit moves over it, it will begin to multiply. Pressed down, shaken together and running over, and it will feed thousands of people. But I've got nothing. What you see as nothing, God sees as the answer to a person's need. And so you've got to begin to realize that what you've got is something that you can give to people that will change lives, that will set somebody's destiny on the right road. That you can set people free from their bondages by just simply being obedient to what you have. And so Jesus took the small things and created great things.
Amen.
Jesus took the weak things and made them strong. And for you and me, we need to realize that although it seems small on Friday, Sunday's coming.
Praise God.
And when Sunday arrives, you do not know how big it's going to be.
Amen.
You do not know how great a thing God is going to do. The soldiers thought they'd done a great thing when they crucified Jesus. There was one centurion who, when he saw the way that Jesus died, said, "Surely, this is the Son of God." Nobody had died like him. He died with dignity. He died with compassion. He died with love. He died still caring about his family. He said to John, the disciple, he told him to look after his mother, Mary. She's your mother. You now take care of her. Hey, he's hanging on a cross. He's struggling to breathe. His hands and his feet are pierced with nails. And he's thinking about somebody else. He's thinking about his family. Wow, what a story. And the Roman soldier sees this and realizes that there's something different about this man, the way he's dying. And Jesus chose to die. They didn't kill him. They put the spear in his side after he died. He gave up. He handed his spirit over to God and said, "Take care of it." And allowed himself to go down into hell where you and I should go. And there he went to pay that price. But you know, thank God the voice of God penetrates even hell. Yeah. No matter how far people think they can get away from God, God's eyesight, God's piercing gaze, and God's voice will penetrate the depth of hell. Amen. And no matter how far you think you've gone as an individual, no matter how lost you think you are, let me tell you this, God's sat-nav will find you. Amen. God's satellite in the sky, the Holy Spirit, will find you. The Word says His eye roves to and fro throughout all the earth, seeking. He's seeking for people. He's seeking for your family. All you have to do is remember, it's not Friday anymore. It's Sunday.
Praise God.
There is risen, there is new life, there is power, and there is a promise in the name of our God to set the captives free.
Amen.
And to bring healing and deliverance. And you and I need to realize that. It's tremendous what God can do for us. So the women get to the tomb. And they're wondering all that way along, how are we going to open? How are we going to roll that enormous stone away? Grace and I went to Israel one time and we went to the Garden Tomb. If that's the correct tomb, if that's the correct place. There's a big stone there in the shape of like a wheel in a channel. I don't know how it moved. I don't know how you'd move it away. Massive stone. You need an angel to push it away. The stone was rolled away for one reason. Not to let Jesus out, but to show you that he was already out.
Amen.
The stone didn't roll away so that Jesus could come out and like, "I'm glad to be out of there. It's getting a bit claustrophobic in there, you know." He was already out of the tomb. The stone was rolled away so that the disciples, so that the women could see that he was risen. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, if you read your Bible, you can read further on when the disciples were together and they had the doors locked because they were afraid that the Jews might come after them, that the Pharisees and Sadducees might decide to hunt them down and nail them to crosses, so they've got the doors locked. And while all the doors locked and the windows are locked and they're all gathered together wondering what to do, disappointed, dismayed, confused in the fact that the tomb's empty, Mary says she's seen Jesus and spoken to him. But you know what Mary's like. She can come out with some real stories. I'm sure she's been on drugs before. You know what I mean? Whatever she got into in the past, you know what I mean? You can't always believe what Mary says. She's a bit of an exaggerator. Well, I'm sure Thomas would have said something like that because Thomas was a doubter. So Thomas is going to be one of those saying that, you know, well, you can't believe all Mary says, you know. I once remember when she said to me, and it weren't true. And so there's all this turmoil going on in their minds. And then suddenly, Jesus walks in. How did you get in? They're all busy talking and arguing amongst themselves what's going to happen next. They're so concerned about themselves. And Jesus walks in. Can you just imagine it? You know, walks in and just puts his hand on John. Jesus! Suddenly the disciples are shocked into silence. And they're afraid, they're backing off. It's a ghost. It can't be real. You see, there's so much doubt in their mind that even when he's there before them, they still think he's a ghost. So they don't believe what he told them, that he would rise on the third day. Because they saw the Roman soldiers kill him. They saw the Roman soldiers stick a spear in his side, and they saw blood and water run from his side. They saw him taken down from the cross and wrapped in a sheet and carried and laid in a tomb. They saw the stone rolled against that doorway of the tomb. And everything of that says he's dead. And it's Friday and he's dead. And he's buried and it's Friday. And everything we had and everything we hoped for died with him on Friday. Trouble is they forgot Sunday was coming. They forgot Sunday is coming. And Jesus turns up on the scene, unannounced, in the very midst, and says, well, how do we know you're real? Maybe you are a ghost, and you're telling us you're not. He said, give me something to eat. And he sat down and ate fish and bread. Whoa. Sunday's arrived. It's Sunday. And I don't mean just today it's Sunday. But from now on, it's Sunday. It's new beginning. It's the start of something new in God. It's the start of something new in you and in me.
Amen.
It's Sunday. It's the eighth day. It's the new day. Eight stands for new beginnings. Eight stands for new creation. Eight stands for the newness, the fruitfulness of the future. And God is doing something on the eighth day. And so the disciples begin to realize that Jesus is alive. And the only thing is, Thomas wasn't there. He's missing. He's off doing some errands. Either that or he's off doing a bit more doubting somewhere else. But Jesus is gone. And when Thomas arrives, they say to him, hey Thomas, you should have been here earlier. That's what they ought to say to a few people coming to church. You should have been here earlier. You missed it. What do you mean I missed it? Jesus has been. Oh no. You're all winding me up, aren't you? You've all got together and you've all decided that you're going to tell me Jesus has been just because I don't believe what's happened. Just because the tomb's empty. Somebody's taken his body. And so now you've got together and you've made up a story just to get me to believe, haven't you? Well, I'm not going to believe you. I'm not going to believe lest I touch the nail prints, put my finger in the nail prints and my hand in his side where the spear's been. So you can stick that, guys. You're not winding me up. I'm not going to believe you. These are real people. These are not saints in stained glass windows. These are people with attitude. Come on. Some of them are in the late teens. Some of them are in the early 20s. You know what they're like. Late teens and early 20s, they've got attitude. Think they know everything. Think they've done everything. Know it all. You can't tell them anything. Is that right? And Thomas is one of them. Not telling me. It's a wind-up, isn't it? Trying to set me up. A few days later, they're all together, hiding still. Still scared. Even though Jesus has been and sat down and eaten with them, had a chat with them, shared a few things about the future. But all together, this time Thomas is there. Doors locked, windows shuttered, little spile to check if anybody who's coming in next. Don't let anybody in that we don't know. And suddenly Jesus appears in the room. Walks right up to Thomas. So now, Thomas, put your finger in my hand. Put your fist in my side. No, no, no. I believe. I believe. He was scared. Jesus knew what he'd been thinking. Jesus knew what he'd said. And Jesus says, blessed be those that have not seen and yet believe. You're blessed.
Amen.
Because Jesus said so. Jesus said you're blessed because you've believed, although you've not yet seen him. You've believed. Not Friday anymore. It's Saturday. It's Sunday. Sunday's coming. And you and I can realize that there is blessings for us on Sunday, on that new day.
Amen.
And so whatever your need is, whatever the situation that you and I are in right now,
yeah,
Sunday has arrived for
Amen.
Us. God has made provision for us. God has made provision for this day. God has made provision for the next day. So God wants to see you and I blessed. God wants to see you believing His Word, and God wants to see you making His Word real in your own life, that it will begin to do great things. God wants that Word to be active. It's the new day. The tomb's empty. There's no need to embalm him anymore. But Sunday is here. And you and I can rejoice. But Sunday is here. Amen? You stay there. God is a good God. God has good things for you. But often we're attacked by the enemy. We're often attacked even by our own thoughts, our own doubts, our own fears. And they take control of us. And our doubts and fears become bigger and stronger than God. Why? Not because they are. It's because we allow them to be. And so we have to realize more and more that we make God first in our lives. That it is Sunday, not Friday. Friday is when your fears start to take over. But it's Sunday. You know, I've begun to realize in these last few days more and more that the devil is more and more seeking to divide, to separate people who are in unity. He's attacking marriages. He's attacking relationships. He's attacking from every side and every end. A few days ago, a friend of mine just came onto my heart and my mind, somebody who had not, through the business that we met many years ago, and we've not heard from them for a long, long time, and suddenly they were heavy on my heart. And I thought, well, number one, I do have an address, but I can't get direct to them. So I had an email address. I went onto their website and I just sent them an email. And I had a response back just the other day to say that she and her husband were separated at this time and that things were falling apart in that area of marriage. And I just thought, it just reminded me again afresh. Somebody else that I spoke to just the other day, again through the business, their marriage is being broken into pieces. If the enemy can destroy relationships, then he destroys the unity, and the unity is the power of God working through our lives. And so you and I have to realize we have to cherish what we have. And sometimes it may seem like Friday, but praise God, Sunday's coming. And we've got to look to the Sunday. And we've got to believe God for the Sunday. We've got to believe that the resurrection life is there for you and for me. For the situation that we're living in, there's resurrection life.
There is, praise God.
Not just about Jesus being risen from the dead, but about our situation being risen from its dead situation. That God turning that which we think is hopeless and helpless, and God turning it into something that is right and powerful and moving forward, and it is destroying the works of the devil. The tomb's empty. The stone's been rolled away. The situation that stands against us, God has come against it and has knocked it down. He's destroyed that which that stands against us, which stops us and tries to prevent us moving on with God. It's Sunday. God has done it.
Amen.
God has spoken out your name. He's spoken out deliverance. He's spoken out healing. And He's spoken out freedom. Because it's Sunday.
Yes.
And God has spoken. And the hell cannot hold back when God speaks. No stone can hold back when God speaks. No tomb can encase you when God speaks. Nothing can hold you back. The chains of hell and the deepest dungeon in hell cannot hold you back when God speaks. And you and I have to realize that God is speaking right now to our lives. And He has set us free and He has made everything available for us. And all we've got to do is reach out and take hold of God. We've just got to make Jesus Lord of our life. We've just got to make Jesus the center of all that we think and all that we do. And as we make Him that center of our lives, then everything else will come into line. Everything else will take shape. Everything else will take a form of godliness and truth. And the anointing of God will come upon you. And God's redemptive power will work in your life. And God's healing power will work in your life. And He'll bring us to the place of victory and triumph. As we sang, grave, where is thy sting? It's none. Because Jesus defeated the enemy. And we can praise God for all that He's done for us. And we can give Him thanks. So, folks, no longer Friday. It's Sunday. He's risen.
Amen.
It's no longer Friday in your situation. It's Sunday.
Thank God.
God is changing it.
Yes.
And you've got to believe Him.
Amen.
And you've got to let Him happen. Let it happen and God will do something great and mighty. For He is risen. And He is risen indeed.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.